Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello, and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are diving into e-commerce benchmarks. We're going to go through all the benchmarks and all the stats. So by the end of this podcast, you should have a very good idea about where your site is and what areas you need to improve. So let's get started. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Hello, Mark. Excellent. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yes. Today we thought we would, we kind of touched on a lot of benchmarking statistics as we've gone along, but we've never really had one episode where we've really covered them all. And I thought having one episode as a reference for everybody to be able to go and say, right, I'm going to go and understand all the stats for e-commerce and understand where I should be and use that information would be good. So it has them all in one place. So yeah. We're just going to go through, obviously we've done a huge amount of benchmarking over the years and we understand, you know, what levels things should be and where you should be looking. And also some of the stats that are going to change depending on what you sell and which ones don't change depending on what you sell. That's also useful. Because furniture sites have different metrics to people selling herbs and spices, for example.
So, yeah. But it's just very useful to compare yourself against these because then you'll get to know what type of business you are. Yeah, and I think a lot of people in our space are reluctant to give out typical benchmark KPIs because they're scared. You know, they're scared of getting it wrong, and they're scared of saying, all sites should have a bounce rate of, less than 40% because it does depend on each business. But I think it's so helpful to have a basic number to look at when you're looking at things like your add to basket stat. If you're told, well, it very much depends on what you're selling. Well, that's really unhelpful.
Well, it isn't really helpful. Yeah, it doesn't really give you an idea. What you really want to know is what's possible. And then something to aim for.
Yeah, what's average? Yeah. What's the basic average for the add to basket stat? And then, if the basic average for an add to basket stat, for example, is 10% and you're sitting at 4, then it tells you A, where you might need to look at, but also more about your business. You might find that, your other stats are higher. I mean, like we say, this is a maths game. This is a numbers game here. And by looking at these KPIs, and it took us a long time to see these over many, many, many years to see which ones were important. It's a numbers game, isn't it? And it takes away the emotion and it replaces it with a rational view of what to do on your e-commerce business, in what order, for the biggest return. Yeah. And without these numbers, you've got the scattergun approach. So it's the cornerstone. And I think on the podcast, we talked about them, in different podcasts under different scenarios. And actually, just to have one that's just like, right, boof, here's the numbers that you can look at and you can compare yourself with. And you put it into your target dashboard that we've done. It's fascinating.
Yeah. All right, let's get started with site speed. That's one of our KPIs. Okay.
Yeah, so we've got about 22 here. So we'll just run through them.
Yeah.
So site speed in GA, because most people will go on in Google Analytics, and when you're looking at site speed in Google Analytics, you have to take into a pinch of salt that it's loading. If you've got it under 4 seconds in Google Analytics, you are faster than average.
Yeah.
Simple as that. As an overall, for all pages, under 4 seconds, Google Analytics, you're okay.
And we definitely start to see a conversion rate hit when it gets over 5 seconds, don't we? There's always seems to be a bit of a hit when it gets there. I mean, if you were under 3 seconds, amazing.
for under 4 seconds, you're pretty fast. Over 5 seconds, and then over 6 seconds, you're going to get people saying side slow.
That's when it starts to affect conversion rate. Mm. You know, around sort of 6+. Because it's like you're in a store and it's busy. You know, people go, oh, can't be bothered. You know, can't be bothered to go and click around. So, you know, it's just like a physical shop. You would get used to, it's a horrible experience if it's slow. You tend to find that the number of items per order is reduced. I mean, we did that famous study where we halved the speed of the site, and the typical time to buy on that site was 2.5 minutes.
No, it was six minutes.
And we halved the speed, and we expected the time to buy to go to 3 minutes, and it didn't. The time to buy remained at 6 minutes, but the number of items per order shot up, nearly doubled.
Yeah, because they had the same amount of time they were allocating to the order, but they just got a lot more done in that time because they felt they could do it. Yeah.
That was one of the most interesting things that we've uncovered. I love that one. Yeah. Okay, next.
Add to basket.
10%.
Well, 10% is going to depend on the average order value, isn't it? So you're not going to get, if you're selling like furniture for £1,000, like the maximum I've seen is 3% in that case, because it's a huge purchase. You're not going to get 10% added to basket.
Yeah.
And then if it's under like £300, you know, if you're selling clothing, £150 average order value, your add to basket can be 10% if you've got a very good repeat business. So,
well, your conversion rate depends mainly on two factors. Number one, your average order value, and number two, your lifetime customer value. So if you've got people, so take it like contact lenses. Average order value is about £12. They buy every month. So you're going to get a massive conversion rate on that site. Take, you know, a one-off luxury furniture maker selling a wardrobe for £1,000. Buying every 3 years, it's going to be a much lower conversion rate. But we split the conversion rate down to three things to keep it simple. It's add to basket, basket to checkout, checkout to order. And that they are the three steps of the conversion rate, because you can't get the conversion rate high. If you just say get the conversion rate high, it's completely meaningless. So you have to split it into those three. So on average, well, we'd probably say 5 to 10, wouldn't we, for add to basket?
Yeah,
we've seen it higher.
5 to 10. We've seen it. Yeah, 5 to 10%. I think if you come along to a site, any site that's got like a add to basket of 2%, which is quite common when people are getting started, it's too low. And you know, any site that's got like a add to basket of 7% upwards, you're doing something right, or you're not driving enough traffic to your site. You're not putting enough pressure on it. You know, you could be like just starting out, going, "Oh yeah, I'll do a bit of SEO, and I've got some 7%."
That's fairly true. You're
only getting
10
people a day.
Because I tell you what, anyone can get good conversion rate if they just get rid of the traffic. So it's about enabling to buy traffic profitably whilst maintaining your conversion rate or increasing them. So add to basket, you know, holy grail, 10%. Basket to checkout, 55% on average. Now that's pretty that's a good stat. I would say that's absolute top end. Basket to checkout, 55%. And then in the checkout, when they're actually in the checkout, checkout to order, 85%. So that's 10%.
I've seen higher as well. I've seen 95%.
Yeah, we have. So add to basket 10%, basket checkout 55%, checkout to order 85%. And on some sites, it's hard to get those two stats, basket to checkout and checkout to order. So if you combine them, it should be about 44%. So if you say, so 10% add to basket, and then 44% would actually then go ahead and place the order. Those three, I think, because everybody bangs on about conversion rates so much, but without splitting it down into either the three or the two, just to keep it really simple, it's either add to basket and then basket to order, which is the two, or if it's three, it's add to basket, basket to check.
You split it down into three, it tells you where to work. You can work out which one of those is weak. And if it is one of the latter ones, then obviously you've got a checkout problem, or you've got a basket page problem. Or if it's the first one, you've got to go into the products and work out which are the top 20% of products that are driving most of the add to baskets, and work out why, or the clicks or the landing pages, and work out why they're not being added to the basket.
in it's probably just useful just to skip ahead slightly and come back to the next one, because it's the bounce rate that's relevant here. So if your add to basket stats low, so saying it's, let's say it's 2%, it will be because they're bouncing. And they're probably bouncing off the product page, because the product page is the one that people land on first because of the Google shopping and Facebook product ads. And it's probably the bounce rate on the product page is really high. Typically, you don't see a massive problem with bounce rate on categories. It's normally bounce rate on product page and the home page, but most likely it's the product page is the weak page. So bounce rate on product page would be higher than 60% is where we'd like to be. Yeah. And again, this is completely average. Like, obviously, if it's more relevant to bigger mobile percentage, then it's going to be a higher
product. And if the average is 60%, you'll have some products that will have high traffic and have a bounce rate of over 80%. Yeah. And it's, you know, if you imagine, like, there's going to be some products that get a lion's share of the clicks, and therefore those are the ones that drive that stat, and those are the ones to work on first. It just really gives you somewhere to work, doesn't it? It's like, why does that product get 20% of the clicks to the website, and why does it bounce at 80%? What am I doing wrong? What's wrong with the messaging on that product? What's wrong with the imagery?
Yeah. And typically, it's the product page, the dead end page. And we talked about this a lot. So basically, bounce rate on product, no more than 60% on average. Bounce rate on category, no more than 50%. And that's actually very rarely the problem. Bounce rate on home, no more than 25%. They're the basic. So that's why, you know, if your add to basket stat is low, check bounce rate on product,
because people aren't hanging around enough.
So moving on. So average order value, we always say if your average order value is below £50 and your lifetime customer value is below 2, you're going to struggle. You can't have a low average order value with a low lifetime customer value, and you can't have, essentially you've got no business.
Well, it reminds me of the person we were talking to last night.
He's probably listened to this podcast.
And I was looking at all the products. It's like all the products are like 99p and like £1.99. It's like that. It's just going to be too difficult because for a start, they're not going to add to the basket because they know the delivery is £5. You know, if you're dancing around something that where the delivery cost of like £5 becomes a significant thing, becomes a massive friction, because it goes, I'm spending as much on delivery as I'm spending on the product, and that doesn't seem right.
The bigger part of the average order value is that the cost per conversion through something like Google Shopping tends to be around £10. You know, no matter what you're selling, it tends to be around that £10 mark. But then if you're selling something, so if you're selling something for £10, it's going to cost you £10 to recruit. Obviously, you're losing money straight away. But it doesn't then grow linearly. It's like, you know, so it doesn't, you know, if you're selling something for £100, it doesn't go at the same rate. So obviously, the higher the average order value, you know, the more margin you've got to play with, the bigger, you know, it doesn't grow at the same rate. So, you know, your average order value is absolutely key. And there's only two ways to grow your average order value. It's either more expensive products or it's more items per order.
I was just going to say, there's like the gift market where people are selling, buying gifts. It's like the sweet spot seems to be starting at £25. And then they'll have upsells on those to try and get them to around, you know, £45. And then that works really well. I see a lot of gift websites coming onto my mentoring program, and they start with like trying to sell things for like £5, £10 and stuff. And it's people are willing to spend a little bit more than that on a gift online.
If you combine add to basket, checkout to order as our conversion stats, if you combine them together, you know, you typically find that if you are recruiting new customers, your site, you should be aiming for 2% recruitment rate. And if you've got existing customers there, you should be doing about 6%. So if you think for gifting, you tend to find you're recruiting new customers all the time, because having gifts, the difficult about that is to get the lifetime customer value up, because they tend to buy, you're not buying for yourself. So if you think, if you're selling a gift for £10 and your conversion rate, you know, is 2%, you know, you've got very little. You, let's say your typical margins are typical retailer margins. You've got nothing to play with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not enough. The maths don't work. So
yeah,
you know, you've really got to think that, you know, this is. I mean, the average order value conversion rate is key, because, you know, with the next one is traffic, and I just wrote more than none. But the reality is, with traffic, is you can click your fingers and you could get 100,000 people to your site today. You can buy traffic. Traffic isn't the problem, but it's buying traffic that is profitable. You know, and that's the key. So that's why these metrics are so important. You know,
because it's like you'll get to a point and you'll be like, okay, there might be some special keyword you could be going like black cats, pink collar, and you're like, you've got the only one in the world that sells that, and that might be really good. But then if you go to like black cat collar or collars for cats, you know, it's too generic. So therefore, you've got to go back to your stats and go, right, I need to improve my KPIs so I can go and compete in a wider audience.
You basically get as much traffic as you can until your KPIs break. And by that, we mean they just fall over. You know, your ad to basket dips massively, and your basket to checkout dips, you know, checkout to order, and everything just starts to crumble. Your conversion rate basically falls through the floor. And that's when you need to then refine your KPIs and work on them and see which ones are failing, you know, to get to be able to buy.
You've got to wasn't
profitable.
Anymore. You put your site under pressure until you work out which weakest link is, and then you work out where to work.
I mean, it's amazing. You know, if you can get 100 people to the site and you've got a conversion rate of 2%, and it's cost you, you know, £100 to drive those clicks. If you can then get your conversion rate to 4%, you've the same £100 that's cost you to get them there, you've doubled the revenue. And I know that's stupid and really obvious, but that's what we're doing, just in a much bigger, more complicated way. We're saying, can we maintain the same level of spend whilst increasing our revenue? And that the answer to doing that, the only answer to doing that, is to look at these KPIs. To get it right. Anyway, moving on.
So where are we
time
now?
Time on site. The next one. We've got time on site. So these are just quite basic ones. I mean, you know, you wouldn't really look at these things unless your conversion rate was dipping, but it's quite useful anyway. Time on site, average 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Page views per session, 5.
Yeah.
You know. Rattling them
off. Oh, actually, just on time on site, you might want to do a segment on analytics for people who transactions equal greater than one, and see how long it takes people to buy. Typically, that's about 6 to 10 minutes. Just to kind of understand what that is, because then as you change things on the site, if you're helping people buy more quickly, then you're doing something right. Or if you change something and they become longer, then that's bad. So you need to kind of know what
that
is for
you. Look at the sweet spot of the customers that did actually convert, and then use that as your remarketing lists for your for your segments in Google Analytics and Facebook. So if you're finding that, you know, everyone who buys spends more than 6 minutes on the website and clicks through at least 8 pages, well, therefore look at, create the people that did that but didn't buy, and follow those around more aggressively.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So people like being on the site more than 6 minutes is usually one of the key ones. Page views per session?
5 on average.
Yeah.
You obviously want them to click around. They just come on, have, you know, one page view and bugger off. Well, that's a bounce, basically.
Yeah. But if it's massively excessive, then you might have a very difficult structure to your site. You know, let's say you've got a page views per session 10 or something, and it's like, and they're not buying. And then you might think, well, why is that? What's the typical flow through the site? Search use is a big one. On-site search use, like the search box on the site.
So 6% for norm on average for B2C, and then 18% for B2B. And the reason why it's useful, the reason why you want them to search, is because the search conversion rate is normally 3 times the normal conversion rate of your site. So if your site's converting at 2%, the people that are using your search tool at the top in the header, should be converting three times higher at 6%.
Mm.
So that's why it's really useful.
And what tends to happen at the moment is a designer will try and hide it away, the site search, and the site search might be really key for your site, and it might be something you actually want people to do. Because if they're on the homepage, they're sitting there like rabbit in the headlights and don't really know what to do or where to go, but they know kind of have an idea about what they want, then jumping them onto search is a very good engagement device. Mm. And once you've got them down that path, they've committed to, you know, there's a whole difference between coming onto a website, scrolling up and down, then actually committing to actually interact with it. Once you've once a person has interacted with it, in their mind, they have committed more time and effort to that thing. So they're much more likely to complete something. So the on-site search actually works as a very good engagement device to get that started. So that's why we see conversion rates around three times the normal conversion. And therefore, if you have got a product, a site that does that, make sure that search is there, and you can even help people get along with search by just saying, people on this page, these are some popular search terms on this page that people use.
Yeah.
Get that started.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, there's some interesting stats around search refinements as well. I've forgotten them.
14% you've put on the sheet.
No, I have. But I've got another one as well. And I'm just opening up a presentation that I did ages ago about this. And here we go. Yeah, no, actually it's not on this presentation. Basically 14% of on average is a search refinement. I've got an exit stat as well for search.
Yeah.
As well. But I can't remember. But I think it's 14% of search refinement, which means if someone searches for something, then 14% on average should then do another search straight away.
Right.
That's a search, which is typical.
What happens if search refinement is too high? Does that mean it's...
Well, you're not showing an accurate search. So imagine if someone is searching for something, then immediately search for something and get out.
Yeah.
Typically.
It's like, this is complete rubbish, basically. Yeah. And I suppose your search exits as well.
Well, that's right. It's search refinement, and then it's search exits too. So I've got the search exits one, but I can't find it.
Tell us next time.
I will.
You've done bounce rate home, bounce rate cap, bounce rate product. What people always ask me is like how much of their revenue should be coming through different channels. So on average email, how much of their revenue should be coming through the email channel?
Yeah. Well, average 20%. Obviously it depends on the business, but typically at least 20%. At least.
Yeah.
I'd have thought.
Seen 45%. You know, I've seen businesses that drive 45% from email, which is really big email businesses. But I mean, it can be a real driving force. And what you'll see from email is, even though you'll maybe get like 35% of revenue coming from email, when you send a good email, it will boost SEO a lot as well, because some people get on the email and they jump onto the browser and put search for your brand name and actually buy. Mm. So
and AdWords too. Everything.
And
direct
click
typing.
On the ad ones.
Totally. So email is massively, massively important.
Yeah.
The channel that keeps on giving.
How to do your offers better rather than just plonking your next discount in there, like going, 20% off today for no reason. We just want to get your sales. It's like people just see it so often.
Yeah. You've got to maintain the desirability. You've got to have a reason to do the offer. It's got to be time bound.
Yeah. Tying it into your job description, tying it into your site mission.
Yeah.
Tying the offer to something that you know your community is interested in as a whole. There's a whole layer of things that you can do to make your offers better.
And that's one thing I'm bang on about e-commerce strategy. Isn't it?
It just ties in, doesn't it? AdWords?
Yeah. Okay. Well, top end, I think 40% can be higher, can be lower. So that's fairly high, I would say. But
well, it depends on whether yours is a Facebook business, Facebook advertising business, or an AdWords advertising business. You know, some of them are going to drive, 40-50% from Facebook advertising. Some of them are going to drive 40-50% from AdWords. So it depends, like, if you're doing, like, tools and, like, drills and impact drivers and stuff like that, then you might get 40% from AdWords. But if you're doing, personalized gifts, then you might get 40-50% from Facebook. But I think your paid channel, one of your main paid channels, should be doing at least 40-50% revenue, really, normally. Yeah. That's kind of how
it's a combination of AdWords and Facebook.
Yeah.
Paid, really, about 40%. SEO, 20-30%.
Yeah.
Direct, average 10%.
Yeah, direct. And direct is usually driven by all the other channels anyway. And also repeat customers and stuff. But the only time it's direct is higher is if you do, because some of our customers still do brochures. And that really gets pumped up by brochures.
See the conversion rate.
Come on to buy.
The brochure lot, brochure drops, the conversion rate goes up quite nicely.
Yeah, well, you'd see conversion rate.
You'd see conversion rates of 8%. Honestly, you know, you would. You'd see, quite impressive. And that's the only reason you get conversion rates of 5-6% is because you've got an existing house file buying again. You know, that's the fact, isn't it? Okay. Average time to purchase, first day.
Yeah, about 30-40%.
Yeah,
of people should buy on the first. I mean, I think if you've got, it's always an average time to purchase. Like, if you, I think you've got less than that, so like really small amount, that means you're probably not convincing enough people on their first purchase to buy something. So you've probably got a conversion rate problem on the front end. But if it's like more than that, say it's like average time to purchase, you know, like 80% of people buy on their first day, then I would recommend that you're not really getting people back. Once they've left and not made a decision, they found someone else to buy from. Yeah. So retargeting is probably not good, or you've not got your initial, initial messaging right. So that's more of a kind of sweet spot. 30-40% is where you want to be. It's not like trying to get it higher and higher and higher, or lower and lower and lower. Average items for order?
1.5. I mean, it seems to be the default average across so many e-commerce sites. So 1.5.
Well, there are caveats. There are caveats, like people who sell expensive dresses, they're going to sell one average item per order, and people who sell herbs and spices might get 5 items per order. But
I think if you got anything, if you're on 2.5 or 3 products per order, that's you're double what the average is. So it means you might be able to get people to. I'm not saying that you could. I think it's easier to get your average order value higher through pushing them to buy more products if you've got an average order item per order that's already quite high. You can't get somebody to buy something they don't want to buy it. No technology can do that. But you just have to go with the flow of the river. So if people are already behaving in this way, to nudge them along that direction a little bit more is the right thing to do. You can't get people to buy something, 3 items per basket if you're only coming on and buying one.
But like, even if someone's buying a dress, there might be something that you could sell, like on a Sweetie page, to say, here's a dress protection bag or something like that.
Think about what you would do if this customer was right in front of you in a physical bricks and mortar store, and just do that. Follow that advice with everything.
Yeah. Do you want special cleaning comb for this dress or something? This dress picks up a lot of hair, cat hair and stuff. So here's a cleaning thing from it or something. Like those kind of things that was just to kind of impulse buy.
The accessories that go with it, the handbag, the shoes. There's all sorts of stuff. I mean, what you would sell, just what you would do in the store.
Yeah. What a good salesman would do in the store.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Mobile traffic percentage.
Mobile traffic percentage. It's increasing all the time, but 40% is actually the average.
But that takes into account that still there's B2B sites tend to be a lot lower on mobile still.
Yeah, it's B2B,
and business to consumer. And very rarely do I see it less than 50% of the traffic. For like a clothing site or something, and sometimes even more. Like 60%.
I mean, if you're selling baby products to pregnant women, it might be 90 on the sofa. And I've seen that. Yeah, and that we had a site selling maternity products, 90% mobile.
Wow.
But
you do get these weird ones, don't you? Sometimes people like you'll see tablets, not usually a big deal, but on some sites it's like, wow, it's all tablet.
It's good to split. Well, the interesting one that is the mobile conversion. And you know, it doesn't matter necessarily what your percentage of mobile traffic is. It's very rare that the mobile site will convert higher than the desktop. Very, very rare. And actually, on average, half the conversion rate of desktop should be mobile. So mobile, I'll put that in an easier way. Mobile should convert at half the conversion rate of desktop. That's average. So if you've got a desktop that's
sites,
converting...
Some sites where it is like 60% mobile, I probably would expect it to actually be higher than that. It depends on what people are buying, because people
You the average.
Yeah, all right.
I'm just giving the average, and this is it. This is the, you know, the average is if your mobile, if your desktop's converting at 4%, mobile should convert at 2%, and tablet should be 3%. You know, so tablet tends to be in the middle, and that's just what I see generally.
Yeah,
you know, gun to my head.
It always tends to be lower, and I think because of the nature of the beast of mobile and what people, I mean, say you've got a site and then you sell some products at £50, some £100, some £200. There'll be certain things that you can sell on the mobile that, there'll be certain things you can sell on the desktop that you can't really sell on the mobile. And therefore, you know, not having your, Google Shopping, you want to split it down by device. So you've got a separate campaign for mobile, because you don't want to have the same bids on things that you've got for desktop that people might be willing to buy on desktop, but not on mobile, because they might have too much anxiety to buy like a big kitchen table, for example, on a mobile, because they're quite happy to buy some chairs for the table they've already bought, or, you know, things like that. So you've got to split it up so that you have chance to go after the right things for each device. It's almost like having three websites, isn't it?
Yeah, which, I mean, it's obviously a much smaller screen, and, you know, obviously people are not as far. They tend to be on desktop when they've made the decision a bit more. You know, they use the mobile as a research tool, and then you're trying to get them to convert on the desktop because they're more like. So that's where you want to join them together. So you could almost do with getting their email address on the mobile, and then and then your basket abandonment email type, your behavior, you know, your abandonment email should recover the basket cross device. Nothing worse than having an email saying, hey, here's, you left stuff in the basket, and you click through on your desktop or your tablet or your phone, and you know, it's an empty
blanket.
It's really not a nice experience.
It's like, come and get what you want. It's like, there's nothing in your basket, sir. It's like, what? Imagine going into a store like that. You're kind of going, go into a clothes shop, you pick your suit out and everything like that. You say, I'm just going to have to go to the loo and get some food because my son's hungry. I'll come back and pick it up. And then you walk back into the shop after your dinner and you go, yeah, I've just come pick up that suit. And it goes, hello, sir. I've never seen you before, sir.
Yeah. It's like, you've never been in this store.
Yeah. It's like, just here. It's like, no, sir. Would you like to buy some clothes? It's like, oh, just walk out, wouldn't you? It'd be insane.
Yeah. So that's they were the top level ones. Which of course we can email through, because we just jotted them down before this podcast, so we've got them in a PowerPoint. So if you want them, just email us. Yeah. What's our email address, Mark?
Mark.
How can they get them?
My email address is the longest email address in the world. It's mark.hammersley, which is HAMM for mother, ERSLEY. @ smartefelephantbusiness.co.uk, and I'll send it to anybody. I've got a little PDF. I'll send it to anybody that wants it, and we can
sounds good,
and get it over to them. Yeah, awesome. Well,
right.
Any I believe you're stats? On a time limit to get back to your domestic bliss.
Yes, exactly. You've got babies to look after. You know, doesn't appreciate podcasts.
You were only given 25 minutes. You were given 20 minutes.
I had 25.
You've done 33, so you're going to be in trouble.
Anyway.
Wrong priorities. Yeah. I'll speak to you next week.
Any of the KPIs that anybody thinks that we might know, we haven't talked about it.
Yeah, just ask.
And we've got access to loads and loads, I mean, literally hundreds of e-commerce sites in Google Analytics, so we're quite happy to look.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you very much, Ian. And thanks so much, everybody. I will speak to you all next week.
Thanks, Mark. Bye.
Bye.